O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind, and before. You've laid your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there, and if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained me for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Amen.
Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech. I'll say that again, Elimelech. A man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? The foreman replied, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also had brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. It's 2 weeks ago since we looked at chapter 1 of Ruth, and if you were not here, or if you've forgotten, I just wanted to summarize chapter 1. There's Naomi and her husband, and they had two sons. They come from Bethlehem. They were Israelites. But in fact, in Bethlehem and Judea, there was a famine in the land. And Naomi's husband took the opportunity, or the decision, and the opportunity to move to Moab, which was 50 miles away on the other side of the Dead Sea. And after a little while, Naomi's husband dies in Moab. And in the meantime, the two sons get married to Moabite girls. And after they've been there for about 10 years, the two sons die. What a terrible situation they find themselves in. And Naomi hears that in Bethlehem in Judea, that the Bible tells us that God is coming to the aid of his people. So Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem where she came from. Her two daughters start to go with her, and she tries to dissuade them because she thinks it's best for them if they go back to their mother's homes. One does go back, but Ruth says that she will stay with Naomi. "Where you go, I will go," she says. "Where you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God. And the only thing that will separate us is death." So she commits herself to Naomi, and they both return to Bethlehem together. And they arrive back in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Very different to our lives, isn't it? If we go away and come back, we don't think, "Oh, it's the time of the harvest." We say, "Oh, we must go down to the co-op or Tesco's and buy bread and milk." A very different situation. The two women are in a difficult situation. They are poor and there's no income. And Ruth is an alien. That's what the Bible would call her. Children today, talking about children again, they would call an alien a green man of some kind. But here she is an alien, or a foreigner, as she calls herself. She is not an Israelite. And so people would view her with some suspicion. The story is set in the time of the judges. The book before Ruth is the Judges. And it was a period of spiritual and moral decline, similar to the days in which we live in today. You may have noticed that there has been a spiritual and moral decline in our nation, as has been prayed for tonight. And in fact, if you turn back to Ruth, the very last verse, if you turn back to Judges, the very last verse in the book, it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Oh, what a great situation. Everybody pleased themselves and did as they saw fit. You can see how it was a time of spiritual and moral decline, which doesn't help Ruth, really, in her situation. In fact, Israel and Moab are old enemies. In Judges chapter 3, we read that Israel, in a war with Moab, that Moab ruled Israel for 18 years. So how are these two ladies going to survive? Now, Naomi has a relative on her dead husband's side called Boaz. The Bible tells us that he was a man of good standing. We could call him well-to-do. Some commentators call him wealthy. Whichever way you look at it, he was a man of substance. Naomi and Ruth need food. And therefore, that when you were in their situation, the only way that you could get it was either to go and beg for it, or if there's a harvest, to go and glean in the harvest field. I'm sure you know what gleaning is. The fields would be harvested. The men would go and cut the sheaves. The servant girls would come behind and bind up the sheaves. But anything which was left behind, anything which was broken, any of the grain which fell from the sheaves and was there on the ground, those who were gleaning would pick that up. This was a law instituted by Moses, which God had given to him. The idea of gleaning was so that the poor and the alien would not die of starvation. And so we have this situation where these two ladies need food. And so Ruth asks Naomi, can she go out and glean in the harvest field? Can she go out and pick up the leftovers? It was hard work, but it was humbling work. You can imagine it, can't you? Look at them over there picking up their poor. Or look at them over there, they're foreigners. They wouldn't be seen as being great. It was also back-breaking work. You were bending down all the time. And it would be hot and it would be hard work. But the only way, in fact, for poor people to exist would be to glean or to beg. So Ruth goes out alone to the harvest fields. She chooses a field and asks permission to glean because she just couldn't just go on the field and just start gleaning. She needed permission. So she asks the foreman. The field she works in belongs to Boaz. She doesn't know Boaz. She doesn't know that he is a relative of Naomi's. But she just chooses this field. And I would call that God's guidance, wouldn't you? That she chose this field which belonged to Boaz. Boaz arrives in the field and he inquires of the foreman, who is this young woman? The foreman says that she is the Moabite. I mean, it's interesting that he doesn't say this is Ruth who's living with Naomi. He says this is the Moabite. Distinguished again that she is not an Israeli. This is the Moabite who lives with Naomi. She has asked permission to glean. And the Bible tells us that Boaz speaks kindly to Ruth. He says, stay in this field, follow my servant girls, and get a drink when you are thirsty, because the men have brought the water. Again, she wouldn't even be able to help herself to a drink without permission. But here Boaz is saying, get a drink when you're thirsty, and I have told the men not to touch you. Now, we see this twice in the chapter. I have told the men not to touch you, and lower down, I have told the men not to harm you. So we can see the kind of situation. She is vulnerable because she's on her own. She's a young woman, and also she is not an Israelite. Ruth asks Boaz why he is being so kind to her. And this is a reply in verse 11 and 12. Boaz replies, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. It's a lovely verse, that. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Ruth had chosen the God of Israel as her refuge. Ruth had left behind the false gods of the Moabites and had chosen the one true God. Not only did Ruth want to live with Naomi, but she wanted to belong to Naomi's God as well. She made the right choice. The Bible gives us pictures of God as a refuge, and some of them are God as a fortress, God as a rock, God as a shield, God as a strong tower. All of us have places of refuge. Some are physical, some are mental, some are emotional. But if we belong to God, He is our refuge, as you well know. He is not only our refuge for today, but He is our eternal refuge and strength, and we praise His name for that. For He is the one who has called us, and tonight, even in your short testimonies of Sunday school, He is the one who you learnt about, and He has called you to be His very own, and He is our refuge, and He is our strength. There are times when we don't feel physically strong. We don't feel spiritually strong. But God is still our refuge and strength. Ruth was an alien, and she was destitute. But she had chosen God for her future. She had chosen God for her future. And you might ask the question, well, how did she get to know about this God? Because she comes from the land of the Moabites. Well, because, of course, when she married into the family of Naomi, she would have learnt about the God of Israel. She would have learnt about the God who is creator of heaven and earth. She would have learnt about the God who loves and cares and is a God of justice and a God of grace. And so Boaz continues to be kind, for at lunchtime he calls Ruth over to have some bread and to dip it in the wine vinegar, because she would have been sitting apart from the other harvesters, because she'd have to be very forward, she would have to be very brave to go and sit with all of the others. She also is given roasted grain by Boaz. And Boaz says to the men, do not embarrass her when she's gleaning. In fact, pull out some of the stalks from the bundles and leave them there for her to pick up. He was being extremely gracious and kind to her. And then we find that Ruth works until the evening. The Bible tells us that she threshes those stalks which she has found and puts them with the rest of the grain, and she returns home to Naomi with a large amount of grain. When she gets home, I'm sure that Naomi is delighted with what her daughter-in-law has brought. And she asks her, which field did you work in today? And she said, I worked in a field which belonged to Boaz. I'm sure that Naomi had a big smile on her face when she said, the Lord bless him. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. How God's hand has worked in this. How God has brought these things together. A kinsman redeemer. Again, something which is instituted by God and brought into the rules and regs which we have in the law, in the Old Testament, is a member of the family who would either buy back goods or property or field, or who would marry a family member who was a widow and then raise a family on the dead brother's behalf, or to rescue a destitute member of the family. In other words, a kinsman redeemer was there to redeem, to bring back, to help, to be a source of encouragement, and really to help a family member who really is helpless, in a helpless state, and can't help themselves. The kinsman redeemer is there to help and to redeem. The Hebrew word for redeemer is mentioned 23 times in these four chapters in Ruth. And you might say, I think it's something of a theme running through a chapter. Is redemption? Absolutely it is. Because it talks about how God works in the lives of ordinary men and women. And we know that, don't we? Because we believe it. We have a children's song, don't we? I'm special because God loves me. Well, absolutely, we are special. We may not be important. We may not have a great status. We may not be able to go out and change the world. But we belong to God. We're special to him, and he loves us through and through. And although the ladies are in a pretty dire situation, Naomi's hope is in the family kinsman redeemer. And the Old Testament makes it quite clear that God is Israel's redeemer. You remember well that God brought Israel out of Egypt. You remember well that God also brought his people out of exile. But the New Testament speaks about another redeemer. The Redeemer of Jesus Christ. The Redeemer who died on the cross. We sing the hymn, don't we? There is a Redeemer. Jesus Christ, God's own Son. He's God's Son who we believe in. And there are some verses which remind us of that. For Jesus died for us on the cross. He died to redeem us. To save us from our sins. He died that we may go to heaven. He died, as the hymn says, to make us good, but more than good. He died to make us righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. What a great verse that is. that we are redeemed by God through Jesus, for Jesus died for us on the cross. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, it says this: It is because of him, Jesus, that you, it is, I'll start again. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and that word again, redemption. Jesus is our redemption. And then also in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And it goes on to say that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. What great words these are, aren't they? Lavished on us, that God has brought us into his kingdom because Jesus died for us and because we turned to Jesus for salvation and for healing of our souls. It wouldn't be right for me to finish tonight without saying that if there's anybody here tonight who actually is not sure that they belong to Jesus, if they're not sure that they belong to God, that you can belong to God through putting your trust in Jesus. For the Bible tells us, if we believe that Jesus died on the cross, if we believe that he is the Son of God, if we believe that we are a sinner and need to be saved, if we believe in Jesus and put our trust in him and ask God to forgive us for our sins, we become a child of God and we are part of the redeemed. For if we do that, then God brings us back himself and redeems us and makes us either a son or daughter of the living God.